Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I had a chance to be watching DW and news, and they're talking about, this is today. This is not history. This is today. Mm-hmm. This is in Germany.
Right.
And what we're going to hear in the program called Agenda, she's interviewing two men and one woman about the government and unemployment, but then they start talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church actually has candidates and is written into the Constitution.
Wow.
And what you're going to hear about their dilemma is that they're talking about that it's a theocracy type.
Mm-hmm. And this is in Germany.
This is in Germany today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where our founding fathers came from. They came from the king. The king said that there was only one church and he was the one over it. And to leave the church at that time was to commit treason. Well, they kind of did it a little bit differently now. And I'm hoping, I'm gonna play this so you can hear this. And you got to hear this interview. You've got to hear this interview, and we'll talk about it. But you have to get the context of it, because the government in Germany is collecting the tithe of the church. The government. Listen up.
People have been leaving both the Protestant and the Catholic churches in Germany in droves.
Now listen, so it's not just America. They're talking, the issue is they're noticing that people are leaving the church by droves. This is why, let me tell you something. We are the church. Understand when most people are talking about the church, especially the world, they're talking about buildings, organizations, they're talking about hierarchy. But we know as believers, the church is people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to rediscover that vocabulary again. So, but when they're talking about an organization. They're talking about, they're leaving by the droves. And this is the world talking about the church, and you'll find out more. Listen up.
And at least some blame Germany's long-established system of tithing.
Germany's Catholic bishops have decreed that members of the faith in the country can be denied sacraments if they opt out of a religious tax.
They can be denied sacraments if they opt out of a religious tax. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to how they see sacraments is you're not going to go to heaven.
Wow.
So if you opt out, they're selling salvation. They're selling. But this is what was going on. This is to remind us
mm-hmm.
of the founding fathers and why the Constitution is written like it's written and why the Declaration of Independence says what it says and why the First Amendment is what it is right now. They're saying that if you fail to pay the church tax to the government right now, today,
mm-hmm.
today, that you will be denied sacraments into their doctrine, that means that you're not going to go to heaven. Well, listen up.
The decision has thrown a spotlight on Germany's tax system that allows believers to pay up to 9% of their income to their church. Grassroots advocates argue that Catholics who opt out have not lost their faith.
Understand this, the German government is allowing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, those two words those things should not go together. Allowing them to pay 9%. And we have to understand, church, the government doesn't allow us to do anything. We obey God.
Mm-hmm.
And if God, if government is against God, we still obey God. But this is what happens, and this is where America's at. We call it, nonprofit 501c3s, and the government allows me to do this. The government doesn't allow you. You just obey God. And the original government of America was in agreement with God, and it wasn't until, 1950s did LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, senator then, push through something without even getting a discussion on it, which caused this 501c3 thing to happen, which is a nonprofit organization, and put some clamp on the governmental clamp on the church. But understand this, that it's not true.
Right.
But this is what's happening in Germany right now today. Right now today, they allow them to pay 9%.
Mm.
They even gave him 1% off what God says in his word.
Gave him a discount.
Germany's bishops, on the other hand, say it is not possible to partially leave the church. In recent years, hundreds of thousands of German Catholics have decided to stop paying the surcharge. That has put a big dent in the church's annual income of 5 billion euros.
Understands 5 billion euros for the German Catholic Church. And they decided to opt out of paying the surcharge.
Oh my God.
But this is it. This is religion, folks. This is institutionalized religion. And this is what America is. You can say what you want to. We're just prettier at it. We have more, you know, more hair product, probably, you know, and we do it a little bit more contemporary. But really, you think about it, you know, we're going to talk about rethinking the church. But this is kind of understanding, rethinking America and our original intent of America. This is what they were coming away from. That's why the pilgrims got on the boat and started coming to America, because prior to that, they could not worship God freely. The church was saying, you know, there's no such thing as leaving, quote, the church, you know, and they began to tell them wrong, false doctrine. And what they're trying to do is control them instead of them following God. So they came to America to worship God freely. Well, listen up to this.
Part of the reason for the drain has been child abuse scandals in Germany. With the Catholic Church in crisis over the issue of abuse, some members of the faith say the decision on religious tax is sending the wrong signal.
You notice that, you know, when all this happened with the child abuse situation with the church, that the enemy just went in and began to just totally deconstruct it. But you know what? That is the, what is the church turned into? What have we turned into? I mean, if we leave God and try to do it religiously, then we're actually giving ourselves over to some sort of controlling, what we would define as, you know, a Jezebelic Ahab type spirit, which you're going to be bowing down to Jezebel's gods.
Right.
You know, and it's just peripherally, all these things are going on. Well, this is enough.
Also presents moral and ethical dilemmas to millions of German believers.
Hans-Joachim Meyer, the critics are using a rather harsh word for this practice. They say it amounts to a modern form of the medieval indulgence.
Isn't that wild? She's starting her interview. They did the introductory piece. And they're talking about the medieval indulgence. And that's when, you know, prior to the Gutenberg printing press and getting the word out, that the church kind of held captive the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want anybody to read the word, because they read the word, they would find out that they were indulging in the wealth and the riches of the people in the church, and everybody else was in poverty. Right. And they're comparing it to the Dark Ages. Mm. Isn't that wild? The Dark Ages.
The present regulation about church taxes hasn't anything to do with Middle Ages. It's not medieval, but it's based on a democratic constitution of Germany, which was adopted in 1919. And the church articles of this constitution were integrated into the federal constitution of 1949.
So he's saying that in 1919, they made constitutional provision. They integrated religion and government. And it said that they can pay this tax, this fee, what we would call a tithe, or, you know, giving, honoring God, through the government. They made it part of their constitution. They made it part of their law. And we have to understand, when they say separation of church and state, they're talking about, listen, the two shall have not, that the government shall make no laws concerning the church. But the church does not turn to government for existence.
Right.
We are, therefore they are. It's not they are, therefore we are.
Right.
It's we are, therefore they are, in regards to America and how it's founded. But listen up.
This hasn't anything to do with Middle Ages. It is a modern system. In Germany, we haven't got separation of state and church, but independence of state from the church and of the church from the state, and this opens up a field of cooperation. And in the Constitution of Weimar of 1919, churches got the status of bodies of public law, and as such they have the constitutional right to collect taxes, which you may also call fees.
Or tithing. We might even call it tithing.
The point is that in the Constitution, the state guaranteed that the state, on behalf of the church, would collect it.
Okay.
But you may, of course, if you do no longer want to support the church. If you are no longer a believer, you may leave the church.
But isn't it?
Think about that. So they made the church merged with the government and said, you can collect this. And they wrote it into their constitution.
Yeah.
And he says, but listen, you know, you can leave the church if you're no longer a believer. Well, hold a minute. When we make a building, an organization, an institution, the church, instead of you, the church, first of all, you think and begin to criticize the building, the organization, and the institution, not realizing you are the church and you hold them accountable to what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, then they tell you, if you leave this building, if you leave our organization, you're no longer a believer. That's exactly what our founding fathers had a huge issue with, because the king was not supposed to be over the church.
Right.
You know, he was not supposed to be over the Church of England. So they said, fine, keep this after much loss and them trying to hurt them. And granted, they're not, you know, that I know of, they're not, you know, coming after these guys. But they are telling them, listen, you know, fine, you want to leave the church, you're no longer a believer, just go. I mean, those two statements together is saying you lose your salvation if you leave the building. No, Jesus left the building.
Right.
And followed Jesus. Listen to this.
Essentially, the bishops are saying here, we'll give you our sacraments if you pay this money, this tax. Isn't that almost like selling sacraments?
Yeah.
Think about it. You got to pay to pray. Isn't it like selling, when you say selling sacraments, what they're saying in the context of that is selling salvation, selling forgiveness.
Crazy.
It's today. This is just yesterday. This just happened. They didn't have this technology.
Yeah.
This is right on DW just yesterday when they're talking about economies and the church is all intertwined in it today. Listen up.
Church is a sacramental community. If you are no longer a member of the church, you are not a member of the sacramental community.
Tell us where the money goes. As I understand it, people are paying up to, say, 9% of their income for the church tax. What is that money going toward?
Well, to church activities within the church and also in society, in education, in the social field of social activities, in many other respects.
Kindergartens, hospitals.
And so on. As far as I know, 70% of church expenditure are covered by the church tax.
Understand that. 70% of the Catholic Church, or at the church, in Germany, 70%, that money comes from the government who collected it from people who understood they're not going to get sacraments, forgiveness, salvation, if you would,
right,
if they didn't pay it. Right. 70%. 70% of, and you're going to find out in just a moment, it's the one of the wealthiest churches in the world, or at least the wealthiest organizations.
Right.
The strange thing is about the present conflict that, for example, the expression of grassroots advocate was used.
In our
the
report.
Professor Zapp, who really started this conflict, is anything else than a grassroots advocate. He is a highly conservative man, and his motives are totally different. I think it's not unfair to assume that his idea is that the church in Germany at present is not traditional enough, is not conservative enough. And we know, of course, that there are prelates in Rome who think that the German church is not obedient enough and too self-confident because it is too rich. So this is a real front. And
it doesn't
fit into the usual journalist church bashing, which makes, of course, fun.
So all of a sudden now the church becomes some government entity. See, the America Constitution was not written so that it could be a theocracy. The American Church Constitution was written so that we can worship God freely, and if we want to be in government offices, we can do it without changing our faith in God, that we can still stand up for God. The government should not be involved in collecting, you know, our ties, and 70% of the wealth, 70% of the wealth. You got to hear this next on the panel, because he talks about He's talking about America next. Mm-hmm. This economist is talking about America, and he's talking about, I mean, you've got to hear it, but he's saying the reason why Americans have to have faith and the reason why the church is doing what it's doing in America is because they don't have socialism. If they had socialism like us, they wouldn't need their faith. This whole interview is very stimulating. And realize, you know, listen to the whole interview about halfway so they're going to break into the context of what I'm sharing with you. But understand they're talking about the economy, and the economy is tied into the church. They're saying 70% of the monies that are received by the church in Germany comes through the government, who taxes people for sacrament, that they cannot get sacraments. And they say you're not a believer if you leave. And are you ready to be the church? And that's what we're hopefully going to talk about after this segment. If not, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But it's just time to be the church. I mean, you should be saying right now, if you're reading the word, all 17% of you, and if you're concerned about where you are in the context of what you're reading, all 3% of you, you should be saying, what's going on? Are you serious? But yes, this is exactly what our founding fathers came from, and that's why they're willing to die for us to have the right to be the church and to worship God freely. But listen what how they describe America and where we are right now, because the argument right now, which is a different viewpoint, or different viewpoints, you know, that is, people are saying they want the government to take care of them. And some people are saying God takes care of us. And some people are saying, well, there is a way that God takes care of us through government, but God is the one who's over. You know what I'm saying? It's not one. It's like it's all of us working together. And this is how they describe the Western world, us. And listen up.
Like the church taxes itself. Karl Ludwig Holtfrerich, we sometimes hear talk of Germany being a post-Christian country. Do you think that's right?
Well, then it would be right for other countries in Europe also.
So what they're saying is that Europe as a whole is post-Christian. They're no longer Christian. But yet they're still being a organization that they're proclaiming is the church. Isn't that wild? That's totally wild. So if it's, well, if you point your finger at us in Germany, you got to point your finger at all of Europe. They say 1%, last I heard, 1% are believers. Wow. And when we're seeing, you know, Islam through immigration take over, they're saying it will be a Islamic nation ruled by the Quran in a very short period of time, because they're just population-wise, they're winning through immigration and kind of taking over. Listen up.
My observation is that in France, where there is no church tax, churches have become as empty as here in Germany.
So she's understanding, saying the reason why the church is not growing anymore, the reason why we're post-Christian Germany, is because, I mean, look at France, he says. When they quit, you know, having the government collect money for the church, then they started, he's thinking it's all about money. It's we can actually continue religion. We can be very religious if we just keep funding it, and we get the government who will force people to pay. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Listen up.
The more religious country, the United States, clearly more religious than a European country, I think has to do with the fact that they don't have what some critics of Obama call European socialism. You know, they need beliefs for getting a feeling of security. And it has a tradition, maybe the 19th century, when you were living out west somewhere, then you needed some sense of security, and it was a church that...
You have to understand that. What he's saying is, we're so confident and we're so secure because we actually have socialism. We don't need to trust God. We don't need faith in God. We don't need belief. But let me explain to you why that the church has the faith and the belief that they have in America and the West. It's because they don't have socialism. Mm-hmm. Get a clue, America. He's saying once your government starts providing for your people, people turn away from God. Mm-hmm. They turn away from God. Once, this is the plan. This is the plan. You know, socialism is the front door to communism. Communism is nothing but government replacing God. Mm. It's a fight. It's a battle between God, man, and God, and it's not between anybody else, but just an affront to God. And he's saying is the reason why there's so much faith and belief in America is because they don't have socialism, which is socialism is where the government provides all your services. And what's happening right now is the government's beginning to provide all these services, and people are saying we want them to provide services. Why? Because America's turning away from God. We're saying that God can't provide for us. If we open the door, if we throw the doors open to socialism, church, we're talking to the church here, we're not talking to the world, even radio is to the church believers, that, and it's to those that have backslidden, that have gone back, and we're calling you back home, and it's also to those who the Lord's drawing you to himself, and that's what we're talking to. We're not talking to the world.
Right.
That if we open the door to socialism, you think it's hard ground now to win people to the Lord, to get them to let go of false gods and false idols and government as God? Do you think your ministry's tough now? Do you think trying to convince your family that God is the provider and not government is difficult now? You haven't seen nothing. If you slam the doors open and throw them wide open to socialism, and that's where we are right now, then this is what happens. And he goes, oh, the reason why the Americans have the viewpoint that they have, they don't have socialism, you know, what they call the argument that's happening right now with Barack Obama, is they don't have socialism. It's like, dude, come on. They just told us. That's why they're looking at us in amazement. These countries are looking at us and say, are you really giving up? Are you giving up your blessing? You're the richest nation on the face of the earth. You're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. You're the most blessed nation outside of Israel on the face of the earth. Everybody's tried to imitate you. You're the only one where people are trying to get over your borders to come in to succeed. And you're giving this up?
Wow.
And you understand, you give it up. You give up the sovereignty of your nation. You give up your constitution. You give up your democracy the moment you turn to socialism and say that government is going to provide for me. Government's going to provide for me. They can do a better job. And he says, he's like, oh, you know, that's why these Westerners, you know, they have to have faith in God, because they don't have a government they can make and demand to pay them the monies and meet their things and needs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they need that. They need that. That's the argument with Obama. And it's like, yeah, he's telling us a secret.
Wow.
Do we want socialism? Listen, church, we have to die with this revelation. We cannot surrender over to, I mean, and I can't, if it's by God and it's this is God's predetermined thing for our nation because we went too far, you know, you can't stop it. But you want to stand up for what's right. I mean, even Jeremiah, when you think about Jeremiah was chosen by God. He was chosen by God. And appointed to go tell everybody what God laid on his heart. And he did it. He did it for 40 years. For 40 years, he told everybody what God was saying. And for 40 years, not one person, Pat, not one person responded to what God was laying on Jeremiah's heart to tell his people. And we're not talking the world here. We're talking God's people did not respond.
Right.
So it is possible to have somebody telling you in your midst that this is not right, and the majority, if not all, of God's people going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. For 40 years, imagine what happened in 40 years. And for 40 years, he sat here, and every day he would share what God laid on his heart, and he would prophesy, and he would tell them, and they would lock him up, and they would tell him he was wrong, and he was a liar, and he's just a troublemaker, and all these different things. They tried to do him in and did all these different things to him. But you know what? He was actually sharing what God was saying, and God's people didn't even want to hear it. And he was confronting God's people for the very same thing that this DW News is talking about with this interview on the Agenda program that you can see on the VFN Torch, going, listen, you can't, church, you cannot integrate and turn this our relationship into God, into men's religions and philosophies that hold God's people captive, that make his word of non-effect. I mean, this is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. We should never confidently say, you know, hey, we need government to replace God.
Right.
But if you haven't yet, go to VFN-TV and watch. Watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. SOS, you know, when your ship is in trouble, when you're stranded on an island somewhere, or you need somebody to help you, they have a message that a ship's going down like the Titanic. They're tapping out a message, you know, SOS, you know, and you could hear, hopefully, let's get that for the radio program so we can get the sound. And we want to have that in so you can hear what it sounds like, tapping out a SOS. And that's what we're doing. We're just tapping it out. And the thing is that are we going to understand that America is a ship that's in trouble and we need to send, and it's called SOS, and it means save our ship. And we need God to save America, save the Constitution, save the church from where we're going. And the SOS stands for, it's either going to be Samuel, which is God's form of government, apostolic government, or it's going to be Saul, which is man's form of government, because they wanted a king like everybody else had. Mm-hmm. Oh, America says, oh, well, look over there. They have socialism. You know, I had somebody I was speaking to from Denmark, and Denmark is a socialistic government, and somebody was unemployed for I don't know how long. And while they're unemployed, they're sending them to school. I mean, we're talking about like a year or something. And he says, I don't care if I ever get a job. I mean, I'm getting unemployed. I'll go to school. I don't have a problem with that. And it's like, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good at all. You shouldn't like, I have no problem paying all my check in taxes. That's what he said. I have no problem. Wow. That's what he said. I have no problem paying more money in taxes. Well, first of all, he didn't have a job. He wasn't paying any taxes. But he was living off. What he's really saying is, I don't care if everybody pays a whole bunch of taxes because I'll never have to work. That's what he was really saying, right? If he didn't have a job.
Yeah, that's right.
And that only works for so long until somebody starts looking at you saying, like, you know, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. And he hadn't had a job for almost a year. He was getting educated, but he didn't. At the same time, when he's not paying any taxes in Denmark, he said, you know, I don't care if I pay even more tax, because like 50% of their income is paying taxes, maybe 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And because government is taking care of everything now.
Right.
And when you heard, you know, some interviews of our president, he was talking about taxed at 100% at some points. And when he was talking about it, and what he's saying is, listen, give me all your money and I can manage it better. Give me all your money and I can provide for you health care. I can provide for you whatever you need, transportation. And that's what 100%. Somebody says, well, how can it be 100% tax? It can be 100% tax when you no longer are in the equation and somebody's making decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So 100% tax means this. You are a subject of the government. No longer is a government a subject of you. It's no longer a government by the people and for the people. It's now that a people that's by the government and for the government. It's the opposite.
Right.
So the higher the tax goes, whoever controls the money controls the vision, and then they determine which way it's going to go. So you could be taxed at 100% and you still can eat, you know, the pot. Could I have some porridge, please? Can I have some porridge? You know, Oliver in his orphanage. I don't know if you've seen that years ago, but he's like, can I have some more porridge, please, sir? And they slap this oatmeal on stuff in his bowl. And I mean, they're already saying things like you can't have a big Coke. You can live in smaller places. We need to track you. They've given out more now. I know that I'm gonna give a shout out this morning to Mark, but Mark had sent me some information about how they're not 12 million phones, but I think it's 15 million cell phones they're giving out. So the right in America now, the government is saying you need food and cell phones. And so that's what's going to happen. You have to understand if they slam, and we're so close, is we're like a hair line away. And that's why you see all these wrong things going on. You see these openly denial of reality going on. And when you see people basically lying through their teeth, they're buying time. They're buying time to just get through this next election.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people behind the scenes that have set all this stuff up. All of these rules and regulations. I mean, can you imagine trying to change the driver's license office? Could you imagine trying? I mean, nothing against the driver's license. I'm not talking about the people there, but the stuff that they have to do because government controls them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the people. I mean, if you work at the driver's license office, thank God for a job.
All right.
But imagine trying to change them. I remember when, you know, I know politicians that had ran for office and they were going to do all this great leading, but they found out there was so much bureaucracy, that they couldn't do anything because the county employees, the state employees, the city employees, the federal employees, they would not let it happen. But they weren't elected. It was actually the other person that was elected. So bureaucracy, I know, is that those things are already put in place already. And there's been so many policies and procedures put in place right now that it doesn't matter who wins in this election coming up, the bureaucracy is already put in place. Mm-hmm. The bureaucracy is already put in place.
Right.
And to revelation wise, that's like Jehoiakim. That's like Josiah's son. That when God began to deal with the nation, his people, he let Josiah live for a few years in the context because Josiah was a king that obeyed him. But after Josiah died, there was a set man that was put in place by permission of God, empowered by the put in place and chosen, even though he was Josiah's son, he was chosen by Egypt to put him in place. We got this whole scenario in our face. It's like, Hello. But God, and I really believe that our president, President Barack Obama, the reason why there's so much bureaucracy is because God is cranking down on a rebellious church.
Yeah.
And what Jehoiakim did when he got in place, he taxed him to the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, we shouldn't complain about taxes. We should fall to our knees and repent before we've done to God.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, don't kill the messenger. Don't complain to the messenger that God sends and says, you know, you've been in rebellion to God. Therefore, you know, God's put me in this place to be able to humble you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jehoiakim, and that wasn't Josiah's son's name, but when he got put in place by Egypt, and it's interesting as you find out, is America under God's judgment? Also, go to VFNTV and watch. Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You got to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be so surprised how God already let us know what's taking place and what's about to take place and what we need to do. And that he went, our president went to Egypt to give his first speech in Cairo. And of course, the Muslim Brotherhood was empowered through that and all that. But understand this, hey, you know, we've been in rebellion. The church has been in rebellion to God. Yeah. And you see what the German church is doing right now, and it's like, you know, really?
Mm-hmm.
And is it much different in America? Much difference to it. And so I know we're coming to an end, but I want to be able to say the next man that comes after Jehoiakim, which Jehoiakim means set man,
right,
is Zedekiah. And Jehoiakim led God's people into a wrong relationship with Egypt, Islam.
Right.
But Zedekiah led God's people, who was also appointed by Egypt, into bondage to Babylonian captivity. And his name, Zedekiah, means God is just.
Right.
That alone should put the fear of God in you. So you know what? I'm gonna make my life right. I'm gonna do what's right before. I don't care what anybody else is saying. No witnesses or suspects. God, I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna quit complaining about the government. Quit complaining about this organization. I'm gonna start being the church. I'm gonna start hanging out with you, God. I'm gonna begin to abide with you. Listen, if you have not yet started to abide with God, now's your time.
That's right.
You want to hear His voice now? It's gonna be difficult on the other side. Go to iabide.org and get your plan today. iabide.org today. If you're not a part of a fellowship that is hanging out with God, that's hearing what God's saying, you try to wake up the people that you're at. You know, begin to talk to them about, you know, we need to begin to a personal transformation, and that's available for you, starting with you. you know, transformation, personal transformation on the VFN torch, and begin to see how you can change, then you can change people around you, and all of you guys could be focusing and hearing the voice of God. But if nobody wants to change, run for your life and get with a fellowship of believers who are not going to sell you out when the kings of this world say you have to do this or do that. You just want to obey God. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they feared not their life unto death.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.